Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be starting a series of discussions with the folks over at the Zeiterion Performing Arts Center to kind of keep up and keep track with all of the renovations that are ongoing over there. This $37 million renovation that has been ongoing now since June of this year. And joining us now, we have President and CEO of the Zeiterion Performing Arts Center, Rosemary Gill, to talk to us and update us on what's going on. Good morning, Rosemary. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tim. I'm well. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And I'm really excited to be able to kind of follow along with the progress of what's going on. Because when you drive by, you know, you see everything all kind of behind the wall, and we're not sure what's going on. So being able to speak with you will give us kind of a perspective on what's happening inside the building.
Sure. Well, I can tell you it's pretty darn exciting. For those of us who are very connected to the building, this has been something that we've been waiting for a long time, of course, to start construction. When you're doing any big project, sometimes you have to make a mess to clean a mess. And so we've got kind of a mess right now. They've dug up, they've taken out all of the seats and they've dug up the floor. So they're moving around dirt to make room for a brand new orchestra pit that will have a hydraulic lift, and to regrade the kind of the pitch of the theater to improve sight lines, to bring in to create a new accessible ramp, and just generally improve the accessibility within the theater, including more accessible seats, et cetera. And, you know, all brand new seats, new paint, new acoustic fabric panels, new sound system, new lighting in the theater. And that's just within the theater itself. We are also planning to improve and increase and expand the lobby. We'll have an elevator that'll provide access to all four levels of the building, or all four floors. We'll have a brand new space in the basement that we're calling the Speakeasy, which will be which will have small programs and be available for organizations and individuals to rent. We'll have for the first time ever, a brand new education spaces, dedicated education spaces, including a beautiful movement studio and classrooms. So we're pretty excited.
Well, one of the things that, when I went, I took the tour that they were giving before everything closed down, and I was fascinated to learn that so much of the stuff that is in the Zeiterion now is stuff that has been there since the 1920s. So, you know, you had mentioned an improved sound system. I didn't realize that you're still working with speakers that have been in there, you know, for 100 years, that you're working with stuff that has been long outdated, but that you've been able to make work for so long, that now having state-of-the-art technology in there is going to be just a game changer in terms of the presentation for the audience.
Yeah, it really is. The seats alone, they were brought in when the building was built in the 1920s. And at that point, there were over 20 theaters in New Bedford that were providing live entertainment. And the Z was, you know, just one amongst them. We are now the only one that is still operating as a theater. And I think one of only maybe three that are even still, that still exist. And so in the 80s, after many, many years of decline, the building owners felt that it would be better to tear down the building and create a parking lot for downtown and for their wholesale tour business. But it was saved by a lot of really great visionaries, including the folks from Whale, which is the Waterfront Historic Area League. And they brought in order to reopen the building, funds were limited. And at the last minute, they brought in used seats from theaters around New England. And the plan was to replace them within 5 years of opening and, you know, have another campaign to raise money to replace them. Well, that never happened. And so here we are more than 40 years later with the same used seats. And also, some they didn't replace all of the seats. Some of them were the seats that were already there. So it was, so we've lived for the last, or operated within the last 40 years with four different styles of seats that will be no surprise to anyone who has attended an event at the Z, are very, very old and needed repair and needed replacing. So, you know, when we reopen, we'll have all brand new seats. They'll all be the same. They'll be very comfortable, uniform, all of that. It'll be fantastic.
And you had mentioned, you know, regrading the theater itself so that it'll be it'll be different angles than what people are used to before. So they'll have better sight lines, as you mentioned, and that's going to make a big difference, I think, for just people's overall aesthetic feel in the room, because you'll be able to see and experience more of the beauty and the splendor. And I know there's some work being done on the inside of the theater itself to kind of bring, you know, put a bigger spotlight on some of the architecture inside, but you didn't often get a chance to sit and look around and look up and all of that. And now people are going to be able to really enjoy the splendor of that theater.
Sure. The theater itself, the auditorium, had very poor lighting, and any lighting we kind of brought in as production lighting. We actually did not have the ability to kind of flip a switch to turn on the lighting in the theater. It was all related to production lighting from a light and sound board. So that alone will improve people's enjoyment of the theater and really be able to see the grandeur and the splendor of this historic theater. It is on the National Historic list, and so we have to follow lots of historic rules. So it's not going to, you're not going to see a significant difference, other than it's going to be easier to point out and to see all of these beautiful historic points of interest. And as you mentioned, the pitch, even that, I'm not sure how will, you know, how noticeable that'll be to folks. We're hoping that, you know, it's not too extreme inside of the theater, that they'll feel the, you know, that people will just notice, oh, these are, you know, wonderful new seats, new carpeting, new sight lines. They're much more accessible. And wow, I never noticed all of these beautiful things, including, you know, the amazing chandelier and the dome that it sits within, and some of the friezes and the beautiful dancing muses that circle the entire theater, things like that. But a lot of what we're doing, almost the vast majority of what we're doing, is bringing this building up to code. And that's very exciting too, making it more accessible, dealing with some of the structural issues that we've just kind of had to deal with.
The biggest round of applause that happened on the tour that I took was when they mentioned the restrooms. That got everybody's, they're like, oh, yes, I don't have to walk all the way over there. Okay, great.
Of course. That alone is also an accessibility issue because I'm sure you know that the men's room was down a pretty precarious flight of stairs from the theater. And so we're bringing the men's room up to the main floor, expanding that, moving the ladies' room and expanding that, having some universal and accessible bathrooms as well. And yeah, people will be very excited about that because believe it or not, we had 6 stalls in the ladies' room, and the theater accommodates 1,200 people, so it's no surprise that there was always a line to the ladies' room, and we're hoping to reduce that by quite a bit.
So, whenever you start doing a project, anybody that has had a historic home and they've had to do some renovations, you never know what you're going to find. You never know what challenges are going to pop up as you go along. Has there been anything that has surprised you during the beginnings of this process?
I'm knocking on wood. Not really. There's been some things that we've been planning this. Since 2018, we've assembled a very, very good and competent and expert team of architects and engineers and theater professionals and consultants. So there haven't been really any surprises. There's been some things that were maybe a little more challenging than we thought they were going to be, but nothing so far that has really surprised us.
And we've talked before about timetable, but how are things looking? Is it still on track with what was, I was there in the summertime when the groundbreaking happened. Are we still pacing for the same timetable?
I think so, yes. We are looking at hopefully reopening in late 2025 or early 2026.
So is it really not that far away, and a lot of work to get done in that amount of time? And, I mentioned that this is a $37 million project, but I know that there's still some fundraising efforts going on to be able to complete this and also other phases that are planned in the future. How can people make donations if they're still looking to help?
Thanks for that, Tim. Yes, we still are raising money. We have a campaign going on called Beyond 100, and we would love for the community to participate in this and have their opportunity to either put their name on a seat or just know that they've had an impact on bringing this beautiful theater back to life, one that touches so much of our community. I mean, just students and educators alone on an annual basis, there's 20,000 kids and educators come through our doors and participate in educational programs. So and then the stars that have come through the building and the opportunity for this community to see the level of entertainment that this theater provides. So they don't have to travel to Boston or New York or Providence. It's right here in their backyard with easy parking, beautiful restaurants and shops within walking distance. So if you're out there and you want to see more of that and you want to support it, I encourage you to go on our website and follow the links to the Beyond 100 campaign and do what you can to help out with the project and help us bring it to reality.
Back in October, I was speaking. I go out and I talk about ghosts in different places and do presentations. And I was up in Worcester for an event that they were doing. And the folks from the Hanover Theater were there promoting their shows. And they said, where are you from? And I'm like, well, I'm from the New Bedford area. And so we were talking and they said, we've heard all about the Zeiterion and the what's going to be happening there, and we are so jealous of. And I was like, "What? You're from the Hanover Theater? That's one of the most beautiful." But they're jealous of what you're going to be able to have at the Zeiterion when everything is all said and done.
Oh, that's I guess that's good to hear.
Yeah, well, it's a playful jealousy.
They're doing great things at the Hanover, and it is a spectacular building. We have a nice relationship with the folks there. But, you know, obviously anything new is exciting and provides, you know, all new opportunities. So I would be jealous of us, too.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to checking in with you on a regular basis to find out how this is going along, and look forward to getting back to the Z and being able to see all of these improvements and just what a different experience it'll be.
Thanks so much, Tim. We're super excited. And again, if anyone out there wants to participate in the project and put their mark on it, please visit Zeiterion.org and the Beyond 100 campaign. That'll bring us, you know, we celebrated our 100th birthday a couple of years ago of the building, and, you know, this will bring us into the next 100 years.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays to you, and we will talk to you next month.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
That is Rosemary Gildy, President and CEO of the Zeiterion Performing Arts Center. And again, Zeiterion.org, if you want to be able to make a donation there to the Z Beyond 100 page there, you'll see it there to be able to make those donations. And I'm excited. As I was taking that tour and I was walking through and seeing, first of all, you know, when you go there to see a show, you experience just such a small, such a portion of the building, and there's so much more to that building. And unfortunately, there was so much more to that building that just wasn't being utilized because of, you know, different reasons, storage, because of the fact that nobody had done anything with that space in 100 years. I mean, there was a lot of things holding back. And as they were taking us through and showing us the renderings of what was going to happen, you realize, like, there was a lot more that could be happening that just couldn't, because they didn't have a chance to get to these areas and redo them all. And seeing what is planned it's going to be such a different experience. It's going to be the same great experience you're used to, but it's just so enhanced. And that's what I'm most excited about. Looking forward to hanging down in the speakeasy, having a couple of drinks, going upstairs to see a show, but also being able to, you know, have that be an even bigger part of the community than just going to see a show, just going to see a performance. So really looking forward to what it'll be. And really, it's not that far away. As Rosemary said, by the end of 2025, beginning of 2026, a year from now, you could be buying tickets for your next performance in the all-new renovated Zeiterion Performing Arts Center. And as I mentioned, folks from Worcester who work at the Hanover Theater said they are jealous of what they're going to be doing at the Zeiterion. So that just goes to show you, I mean, this is something that you should be proud of and something that you should want to take part in. I got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500. Welcome back in. Thanks to Hatch for the drop-off. Much appreciated. And also, when we come back after the news, Phil's going to give us an update on all the top stories of the day. But when we come back after the news, we're going to talk about a couple of different things. One, the latest in the Conjuring House drama. I know a lot of you are following along with that with me. And then also, we have an update on the story that we talked about yesterday about whether or not it's legal to put Christmas lights on your car, because now the Mass RMV is saying it's illegal and the police are warning you not to do it. So we'll talk about that and more coming up in just a few moments. But right now, let's get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The United Healthcare CEO killing suspect caught in Pennsylvania. Republicans show support for Trump's defense secretary pick, and how to handle those holiday blues.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The suspect in the UnitedHealthcare CEO killing is facing multiple charges. Luigi Mangione was apprehended in Altoona, Pennsylvania Monday at a McDonald's for the shooting death of Brian Thompson on December 4th on a New York City sidewalk. Mangione was charged in Pennsylvania with five counts, including one felony count of forgery and one felony count of carrying a firearm without a license, along with three misdemeanor charges. New York City's mayor, a former subway cop, is weighing in on the Daniel Penny chokehold verdict. The jury took just 90 minutes Monday to find the Marine veteran not guilty of criminally negligent homicide after the judge dismissed the manslaughter charge last Friday when jurors said they were hopelessly deadlocked. Mayor Eric Adams was quick to react, saying, quote, "The jury made their decision. Like the DA, I respect the process." Republicans are rallying support for President-elect Trump's pick for defense secretary. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas says that former Fox News host Pete Hegseth is the right man for the job. He chastised his fellow Republicans who refused to support the incoming administration. President Biden is designating a new national monument focused on Indian boarding schools at the campus of a former flagship facility. Biden declared the monument at the Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Pennsylvania, which Biden says is about giving proper recognition to the historical record. The school was established in the late 1800s, with roughly 8,000 children forced to attend over the first 4 years. A new report shows the number of men who've developed breast cancer while living or working near Ground Zero has skyrocketed. The CDC report says at least 91 men in the World Trade Center Health Program have been diagnosed with breast cancer to date. That's six times the number first reported in 2018 and 90 times higher than the national average. Jay-Z is filing a motion to dismiss a civil lawsuit accusing him of allegedly raping a 13-year-old girl in 2000 with Sean Diddy Combs. The accuser said the assault took place after she was driven to an MTV Video Music Awards after party. In a statement, Jay-Z denied the allegations, and the rapper said his lawyer was sent a blackmail attempt in an effort to settle out of court. And there's pressure this time of year to be happy. But for many, Christmas time brings the holiday blues. Counselors say seasonal depression can show up in many different ways. And if you're not feeling the spirit, it's important to know that you're not alone. The best thing to do, experts say, is to talk it out. Studies show that voicing your feelings can help those who are facing depression. Additionally, it's important to get some rest and eat right.
WBSM Sports.
Tonight, the Boston Bruins are in Winnipeg to play the Jets. Puck drops at 8. Celtics and Detroit Pistons at TD Garden on Thursday. And the New England Patriots hit the road off to Arizona to play the Cardinals on Sunday. We'll have the game for you here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
More unsettled weather in your forecast for today here on the South Coast. After a rainy Monday, still overcast and a bit wet today, drizzle possible. And we've got a bigger storm moving in on Wednesday, which will bring with it widespread rain and wind, especially along the coastline. Your high today, 45 degrees, a low of 41 this evening. A high of 62 degrees on Wednesday. Sun returns on Thursday, temperature around 40. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Just a strong way. Let's make it our way.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. So I had mentioned that there was an update of sorts to the story about the Christmas lights on the car. And this comes from CBS Boston. They report there's a young man in Amesbury who drives he's 20 years old. He drives a 1985 Camaro. So props to him. Absolutely. But he's completely covered it in Christmas lights. And he's become a little bit of a local celebrity. Everybody waves and honks and takes photos and all of that. But the Amesbury police have said that it's illegal. He got pulled over for having the lights on his car. And the same thing happened to a driver in Swansea. Both were let off without a ticket, but still, they say that driving with colorful lights is illegal because the red and blue lights are reserved for emergency vehicles. Okay, we knew that. Amber lights are reserved for service vehicles like tow trucks. I didn't know that that was a law. I know that they utilize them, but I didn't know that you couldn't have an amber light because you used to be able to buy amber lights in like AutoZone to put on your car. Like if you were towing something or, you know, along those lines. And aftermarket lights like undercarriage neons are prohibited. So basically they're saying because of all these restrictions, you can't have the Christmas lights on your car. So, but what if I was just driving around with white lights all over my car? As long as I can see out the windows, that should be legal, right? So, I don't know. I think this is something that's going to have to get addressed because people are going to keep doing this now. And eventually the police are going to get tired of people doing it and just letting them off with warnings. They're going to start actually ticketing people. I don't get it myself. I think anybody that overly adorns their car in anything is kind of goofy. There was the guy that had the car in Wareham, in the Wareham area, who was a huge Wes Welker fan, and his car was all decked out in Wes Welker stickers and flags and all that stuff. It was strange. And then don't even get me started on the people that decorate their cars all about Trump. Like, what? That's just weird. You know, just have a bumper sticker or a sticker or whatever, but the multiple flags and all those, I don't get it. Don't get it. But anyway, yeah, if you have those lights in your car, I'd probably take them off before you end up getting yourself a ticket. Because apparently now they're saying you can't do it. And I also said we had an update on the story of the Conjuring House. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, the town of Burrville decided not to renew Jacqueline Nunes' entertainment license due to concerns they had about her behavior and the ongoing legal problems and concerns about people's safety at the house. So they decided that they weren't going to renew her entertainment license. So her entertainment license expired on November 30th, which means she's not allowed to conduct tours, overnight stays, paranormal investigations. All that stuff had to stop. And what happened was police responded to the house this past Friday after seeing customers on the property. So even though, and she had vowed to Channel 12 last week that she was going to honor the December bookings because it was too late to cancel for people who had already booked trips to come out and all of that. So she was going to honor those December bookings, even though she wouldn't have a license to operate. And the police called her bluff. The police showed up on Friday and they shut things down. Now, Jacqueline Nunes was not there, so they cited general manager Paige Thibodeau for operating without a license. So they fined Paige Thibodeau, the general manager. And now she has to go to court. because Jacqueline wasn't there, so she was the person in charge of the property. She was the person who was the responsible party. And so now she's due in court December 16th. And there's a fine of $500 for every day that the business operates without a license. So they caught them doing it one day. They went Saturday after they caught them on Friday. They went back Saturday. And they said that the staff was turning people away. And then on Sunday, there was no activity at the house at all. So they've got her for at least one day of operating without a license. So Paige Thibodeau is facing a $500 fine. She's a 25-year-old girl who lives in Burrville and works at the Conjuring House. And, you know, by the way, I don't know how many general managers they've gone through, but, you know, she didn't ask for this. And now she's the one that has to go to court. And some folks are saying, well, you know, it's her own fault. She stayed when all this stuff was going on. So you get what you deserve when you should have walked away. But other folks who know her were telling me, like, she just probably wanted to make sure that the people who were going to show up had the experience they paid for. But now she is on the hook for it. So who knows what will happen December 16th at that court appearance. But Jacqueline Nunez still thinks she should be able to be operating. And just because, you know, this general manager stopped operations there, she's going to find somebody that's going to be willing to show up and do it. There's enough people that want to make themselves famous off that story that she'll find somebody. There's some wannabe social media influencer ghost hunter who's been probably making videos bashing her for clout, who would turn right around and go work there if she asked them to, and would take the chance of being the person on site so that they can make videos and build their own following. And the best thing to do here is just let this be the end of it until she can seek the help that she needs. And then maybe there's a pathway forward to return this to what it was, because it was fine until her erratic behavior began. But we'll see where it goes from here. I guess what we should be hoping is just that, you know, the fines levied end up being fined to Jacqueline Nunez and not a Paige Thibodeau. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And you know, one family needs a mini miracle this holiday season, and that would be 7-month-old Scarlett and her mom, Megan. Scarlett was born with soft cleft palate, a hole in the roof of her mouth that makes it difficult for her to feed without the potential for choking. It requires special bottles and formula. It's also causing her to have hearing loss. The family has to make frequent trips to Boston, and she has to have surgery, but in order to have surgery to correct this soft cleft palate, she has to gain weight first. And with all this trouble with eating, she needs to have those special bottles, special formula, and all of that. So you can help make a mini miracle happen for young Scarlett and for her mom, Megan, by going to WBSM.com, clicking on Mini Miracle at the top of the page, and all the information is there, not only their story, but also all the ways that you can make a donation to them through the United Way of Greater New Bedford. And Mini Miracle on WBSM is brought to you by Sousa Family Orthodontics, First Citizen Federal Credit Union, Boca, Cask and Pig Kitchen and Ale House, Fall River Municipal Credit Union, and Leach Garage and Auto Body. And we've got a few more folks that are going to be joining up as well. Some folks that have reached out and said, we want to help as well. So we'll have that information for you later on this week. But man, the outpouring of support for young Scarlett has been great so far, but the family needs all kinds of help. because the mom stays home. Megan stays home all day long taking care of Scarlett because she can't have someone else take care of her until she gets this corrective surgery. So all of the regular bills are piling up and, of course, Christmas coming up. So you can help by going to WBSM.com or the app and clicking on Mini Miracle. All the details are there. Also at WBSM.com and on the app, you'll find those stories that I was discussing this morning. The two very interesting business stories, the Buffalo Wild Wings versus Kinfolk's barbecue issue in Seekonk, where Kinfolk's is going to be closing its Seekonk location at the end of the month because of a clause in the lease that they're not allowed to make fried chicken there anymore because Buffalo Wild Wings doesn't want them to do it. And apparently these leases are not uncommon in the business world, these non-compete leases, but was it in there already when they signed the lease back in June? Or is this something that Buffalo Wild Wings is just trying to push on them after the fact? I don't know. Neither side has gotten back to me with that information. But you can read what we do know at WBSM.com and on the app. There's also the story of the Middleborough Hair Salon that is kind of fed up with the fact that folks are coming in to their hair salon for lice treatments when the lice clinic is actually two doors down. But the lice clinic doesn't have signage up or in the eyes of the hair salon, adequate signage up for people to know that they're not the lice clinic. So people just show up, they see hair, and they're like, that must be the place. And they go in, and the owner has to take the time to redirect them to the lice clinic two doors down. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the app as well. And if you are a fan of roast beef sandwiches, and those who listen to me talk about North Shore beefs, you know that I'm a fan of roast beef sandwiches. Check out the video from last night's Chronicle in which they featured the North Shore Beef's fans, including Andy Ferg, the guy who really got it all going and started the Facebook group. But you can learn more about those sandwiches. Learn more about the three-way. We've talked about them quite a bit here. But you can check that out on the WCVB website and on their YouTube channel. Got to take one final break here. We'll be right back.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.